Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're beginning Divrei Hayamim Aleph, and we're going to be learning Perek Aleph, the first chapter. The title of this Perek is From Adam to Israel. So we're going to cover a lot of time in years. It is generation after generation to get to B'nai Yisrael, which is the beginning of the second Perek. Let's break it up into sections. We're going to look at the first section is the first four Psukim, which covers the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, from Adam to Noah. In this we have four Psukim, each with essentially three names for the first three and then the three children of Noach. You will notice that it does not include the names Cain and Hevel. The reason for this is just goes to Adam and Shes. The reason for that, as the Malbim and the Da'at Mikra point out, is because the main point of this entire list, the main point of the Sefer, is to get to the Am Segula, the treasure nation, which is Israel, and working backwards, only those who actually are a link in that chain are relevant. Cain was completely wiped out, all his generations in the flood. Hevel was murdered. Shes is the only one that really counts in the linkage of the chain. So we're not building a family tree outwards, we're actually building backwards. That's important to appreciate. It's also important to notice that when looking at this, the groupings here are significant. So the Malbim points out that Adam, Shes, and Enosh were in fact worthy of themselves of being included in this list, whereas the next pasuk, which is Canaan, Mahalalel, and Yared, they had less essentialism in of being included in this list, is rather because they're children, because they're links in the chain, and perhaps they are being separated in such a way. It is also interesting to notice that there's very few words given here besides the actual name. There's no "and their children were." And part of that is because Tachlis, we're trying to get to the end, which is Israel, and therefore there's very little extra details which are added here. Not even the letter Vav, not even "ands." There's just Adam, Shes, Enosh in this list as well. Because they are not the main point, as Rashi points out. This list in more detail can be found at the end of Parshas Bereishis. We now move into the second section, which was the children of Noach. This text is from Psukim Hey to Chav Gimel. In this, we hear about, in this order, the children of Yefes, the children of Cham, and the children of Shem. This list appears in greater detail at the end of Parshas Noach. Why do we need to hear about Yefes and Cham if the main point of the program is to get to Israel? So Rashi explains to understand the context of the conquest of the land of Canaan. Because if we're going to talk about Israel and their conquest of the land of Canaan, we need to understand, well, who was living there? What were they all about? And to get to understand that, we need to go to Cham, which leads us to Canaan, and the greater perspective of Noach as well. It's also important to notice that if you look at this section that we just covered from Psukim Hey to Chav Gimel, it includes actually 70 people. These are the 70 nations who are being represented here, which is why it's important to include not just Shem, but Cham and Yafes as well, because these become the 70 basic groups of what's called the Shivim Umos, the 70 nations which represent the world. It is interesting to note, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs pointed out once, that he had the privilege of addressing 2,000 leaders of world's faith at the Millennium Peace Summit, which was in August of 2000, and he pointed out that although there were 2,000 representatives of different faiths, there were actually 70 main traditions that they all fell into the bucket of. And his comment was, so it seems that there really still are 70 basic cultures. That's a really fascinating comment, and that's going back to this over here. A lot of work is done in the Meforshim, the Da'at Mikra, the Abarbanel, more of the contemporary and later Meforshim, who have more perspective on world history, to attribute who these nations are. Who in Europe are these nations? Who in Asia are these nations? A lot of work is done in this area. We don't have enough time in a short summary to focus on this, but it is a lot of fascinating applications which are done here. You will notice in this section, unlike the first section, there are vavs between some of the names, and Umitzrayim, Yoladez Aludim, Amonim, Ve'es Lehavim. Why is there a vav here? Because it's not simply Av and Ben, it's not just simply father and son. In many times it could be siblings who represented the new fledgling nations which are being set up here, so therefore the vav talks about separate units of people. We now move on from Sukkim Chav Dalad to Chav Ches, where we hear about the 10 generations from Shem, or really Noach, to Avraham Avinu. That's the next set of 10, talked about in Pirkei Avos as well. And then we get to Psukim Chavtes to Lamed Aleph, is the a list which is found at the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah, which are the generations of Yishmael, the child of the son of Abraham. And then we hear about the Bnei Keturah from Lamed Beis to Lamed Gimel. These are the children that Abraham had with his later wife Keturah, also a list to be found at the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah. Why do we need to hear about Yishmael and Keturah and their children? Surely we're just trying to get to Yitzhak and Yaakov and ultimately the Shiftei Yisrael. So why do we need this? So the Radak points out that is to emphasize that these children were the children of the Shvachos, of the maidservants, and not the Gevira, not the wife of Avram Avinu, who is Sarah. To de-emphasize their importance is why it is brought here. The Malbim also adds an interesting note that if you look at the number of generations of primary representatives of each of these two families, Yishmael and Keturah, there are 13 in each of them. And he pointed out that Avram Avinu had in his spiritual DNA to establish the Shiftei Kod, the tribes of Israel, which is essentially 12 tribes and a priestly tribe, right? Ephraim and Manasseh give us our 12, and then Levi on top of that is really 13. So therefore there's 13. Wherever Avraham Avinu has children, he establishes, so to speak, these dominions of 13, whether it be through Yishmael or whether it be through Keturah. It's interesting to note that in Ithra Shiism, which is one branch of Shiism that believes that there are 12 imams throughout the course of history, the 12th one being the one that disappears and returns later on, they take the aspects of the Torah to be a proof for themselves, and they claiming the rest, of course, is abrogated, but they look into these psukim, both here and in the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah, to talk about the idea of there being 12 imams based on this idea, which sort of twisting this perspective. Anyway, it's just to understand the reason why they're mentioned as well. The Abarba Nell points out that because Avram Avinu was destined to be an Av Hamon Goyim, the father of many nations, it's important to hear that he did have many nations, not just Yitzchak and Yishmael. That's part of the Abrahamic covenant which was given to him by God. Also, it's worthwhile noting, says the Abarba Nell, that Avram Avinu was sterile, essentially, for most of his adult life until he did have Yishmael, but until his Bris Milah. But there afterwards, after he had his circumcision, he now has many, many children. And this emphasizes the fact, as the Bible now points out, that Kovei Hashem Yah Chalifu Koach, that those who hope in God are the ones who are going to have renewed strength, because Avram Avinu was destined not to have children, but it is through his commitment to God that he did have these children, which is being emphasized here. We now move to the last section of this parak, which is Psukim Lamedala to Nundala 34 to 54, and this major chunk over here is a list which is to be found in more detail at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, and it is about the children of Esav, the children of Seir, the kings of Esav, and the Alufei Esav, the chieftains of Esav. So why do we need to hear all of this? Rashi explains, and this is really a thesis for the entire parak, they're quoting the Midrash in Bereshis Rabbah about a person who's walking along the road and he drops a gem in the dirt. And he's distraught, so he pulls out a sieve and he starts sifting all the dirt. And the reason he sifts it is because he needs to go through all the dirt to be able to find that gem again. So what's happening in this parak is we're sifting through the generations to find the gem, which is Israel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going through each of these different nations in order to be able to find them. And it is out of the kavod of Yitzhak that we sift out Yishmael and Bnei Keturah. And it is out of the kavod of Yaakov that we sift out Esav as well. The Malbim points out that the general rule, the general model which is used, is that those who are sifted out first. So that's why you'll have Yefes and Cham before Shem, and you'll have Yishmael and Bnei Keturah before Yitzhak, and you'll have Esav before Yaakov. So that's just the general scheme of things in this parak as well. Why is that we need to know about all these kings of Edom before the kings in Israel? And as it says in Pasuk Mem Gimel, why is that so significant? Rashi quotes a Midrash that there's a certain inversion of power over here, that to the degree that they had chieftains and kings, that was before Israel had kings. Once Israel had kings, their power subsided. This is to relate to the brachas of Yaakov and Esav, and how the one is up, the other one is down. There's this inversion of power as well. The Ababinel adds to this by saying that if Yitzhak did give a bracha to Esav, al charbacha techiyah, that you'd be successful, you'd be militarily successful, and this is the coming to fruition of that blessing. Again, another aspect of covenant which is being emphasized over here is that the words that were given to Avram came true, the words that were given to Yitzhak and Yitzhak gave over himself were true as well. Finally, last point is, why do we need to hear about the Bnei Seir over here? Again, a question we could ask in Parshas Vayishlach as well, why do Seir, which are not of the Abrahamic children feature over here. So the Malbim explains is because Esav conquered them and replaced each of their leaders and incorporated them, each of their 26 leaders, into himself. So it became part of the dominion of Esav. It's worthwhile noting, the Malbim points out, if you add up the numbers here of all the children of Avraham who are outside of the realm of his own children of Bnei, what we call Bnei Israel, there's 13 major, we'll call it, nations established from Yishmael, 13 major nations from Keturah. In Esav, we have 16 major figures, and in Seir, who are going to be replaced by Esav, is 26. If you add that all up, it gives us 68 leaders, or 68 future leaders. And if you add Ammon and Moab, who are also, in a certain sense, you so to speak, extensions of these future nations, which are going to be from the Abrahamic dynasty, that being the nephew of Avram, Lot, sort of from that side of the family, you get 70. And the Malim points out, because now we need to hear about these 70, because Avram Avinu was promised to be an Av Hamon Goyim. So he has the parallel, so the microcosm of the world of 70, he has paralleled in his own progeny as well. So this is also part of, again, the covenant given to Avram, which is coming to fruition. This turns a very dry list into a very dynamic and a very powerful idea, which has been conveyed to us in Perek Aleph of Direi HaYamim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.